We're actually going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to start the lesson in the talk it out portion of the talk sheet. But I would like for you to start your group or your conversation with somebody in the start it out section. So if you haven't already, I want to encourage you to go to our website, trinitynazarene.org, and at the top there's a tab that says Trinity Anywhere. When you click on that tab, you're going to see the video for today as well as a talk sheet that you can download. After you've downloaded the talk sheet, I want you to go through the Start It Out section, and then after you're done that, you're going to come back to this video, press play, and we're going to jump right in. Well, I invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Now, we're out of the gospel portrayal and understanding of Peter's story, and now we're into Luke's account through the book of Acts. And I'm going to catch you up real fast. Peter has been restored at this point. He met with Jesus on the beach, and Jesus stayed with the disciples, and he actually taught them for 40 days. He was with them to teach them, hey, this is what's going to happen when I leave, and you're going to have to be prepared. So he restores Peter. Peter denied him 3 times, and Jesus restores him by asking him the question 3 times, do you love me? And now Peter is with the other leaders and men and women, and they're right in between this period of Passover and Pentecost. Now, Pentecost literally translates to 50. And so it's 50 days after Passover, and Jesus, as he is ascending with the disciples watching him, he says, go and wait for me in Jerusalem. Well, he knew that they were going to go to Jerusalem because they were going to go there as among other pilgrims that were going to travel to Jerusalem to participate in the festival of Pentecost. So he tells them to go and wait for them there, and that's exactly what they did, because he told them, hey, listen, this Pentecost is going to be different, which is really cool. So we're going to start reading in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, if you spend any time in the church, this is going to be a familiar passage. In fact, it's the passage that we use to help us understand our role to reach not only our congregation, but also our community, our region, our country, and around the world. So Acts 1, 8 reads, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, the Spirit is translated here, pneuma. And pneuma can mean multiple things. And one of the things that it means is wind or mighty wind and breath. So that he says, you know, wait until that mighty wind, that breath, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people of me, about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, the Spirit was not a new concept to them. They dealt and understood the Spirit because the Spirit was still active even in the Old Testament. The Spirit gave people gifts and abilities, and it gave them the ability to even prophesy. So they were familiar with the Spirit, but they had not experienced it for themselves. See, the disciples were told to wait, so that's exactly what they did. And there was more than just the 11 that were there. There was 120 disciples, men and women, that were there waiting on what was going to happen. They had no idea what was going to happen. And it was probably the same location as the Last Supper, this upper room. And that gives you an idea of even how large the upper room is. So now I want you to skip over with me to Acts chapter 2. And what we're going to find in Acts chapter 2 is more of the story of the transition that the disciples are making of this new experience of living life without Jesus and the call that they have to move forward as disciples. So in Acts chapter 2, we're going to start right at verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared on and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now, at this point, as this is all happening, if you can imagine the scene, they spill out onto the street. And I mean, imagine this. Mostly uneducated men and women from a dumpy fishing village literally are now standing together, and they're perfectly speaking the same message to in multiple different languages of the travelers who came to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. So of course, people would begin really scratching their heads and saying, what in the world? How can this be? Keep reading verse 5. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. Now, skip down to verse 12. They stood there, amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Now, we have to understand, and again, in the church, we kind of gravitate to this as a monumental moment for the church, this Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming, and the disciples stepping out into public and preaching and teaching, and they're enabled by the Holy Spirit to preach in a language that they've never spoken before, and they were doing it perfectly. So we understand the gravity of this for the church, but we can't miss the moment and how huge this is for Peter. Now, filled with the Spirit, the words of Jesus had to have been filling Peter's mind, because you have to remember, it says, and you will be my witnesses. Like, Peter's just probably thinking and processing, like, what is happening, the words of Jesus, all this stuff is swirling around in their mind, and all of a sudden, they're being ridiculed. So what's Peter going to do? How is Peter going to address this moment of the mockers and the crowd that are saying, you can't do this, or what is going on? Now, the most anxious-filled gap in all of the church history, in my opinion, and even for Christianity, occurs here in Acts chapter 2, right between verses 12 and 13. I mean, this gap is significant. It's the gap of that silence between when a friend or a family member challenges you on your faith. How do you respond? It's that gap of will Peter or won't Peter? Is Maverick going to reengage or not? That's a Top Gun reference. On a serious note, it's the gap after Cassie Bernal and Rachel Scott, who are both students in Columbine High School, when they were asked, do you believe in God, before they were martyred. It's that gap of moment of what are you going to say? What are you going to do? What will Peter do? All of heaven is watching with great anticipation how Peter is going to respond. And we always have to remember that Peter had a choice. We actually have seen Peter's choices all throughout this whole series. He's made choices to step out and to be brash or to be bold. He's also made choices to run and to step back and to deny or disown Jesus. So he had a choice in this moment. And I think maybe many people, including all of heaven, thought, is this going to be a repeat of the same? Now, I'm sure that there was eager anticipation for Peter as well, you know, getting up the courage to do what he needed to do. So as the Spirit is falling, the apostles are preaching, devout Jews came running, and all of heaven is watching, Peter would make his choice. And this was Peter's moment of truth. Now look at verse 14. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, or as some of you are assuming, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. It's much too early for that. Peter stepped up. He went from fear to faith. He went from disowner to disciple. I mean, he went from 0 to 60 in that moment, and he stepped up. And Peter preaches the first sermon of this new church. And it's amazing. The message that he preaches is so powerful. In fact, we look at the results of his message starting at verse 37. Skip down to verse 37. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? They looked at each other and they said, this is too amazing. All these people are speaking in languages that we can understand. Peter, who we know has been a disciple, but really not the greatest, he's kind of an unlikely disciple, is preaching this powerful message. And it pierced their heart and they looked at each other and they said, what do we do with this? So they keep going. Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all of his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. Now catch this. It was about 3,000 in all. Can you imagine over 3,000 people accepting this new message? And why? Because of this Holy Spirit that was speaking through the disciples and Peter standing up. He stepped up, he stood up, and he declared. And in that moment, he went from Simon to Simon Peter to the rock. That was the progression that just happened. Now we're going to stop here, and we're going to move to the talk it out section of our talk sheet. My encouragement for you is to keep dialoguing with one another. I hope that you're watching this with a group, but even if you're not, if you wait just 5 seconds, the video will automatically go to the next section, or you can press pause right here and then dialogue, discuss, you know, send a text message to a friend, get your Bible out, go deeper, use this time as an opportunity to be still and know that he is God. And then when you're ready, press play, it'll automatically go to the next section. Well, I want to end today's lesson with a story. And the story is of a man named Dan. Now, Dan was a devout atheist who grew up in Livonia, Michigan. It's a suburb of Detroit. And following in his father's footsteps and his grandfather's footsteps, he became a line worker at the Ford assembly plant located there in Detroit. Now, everybody knew that Dan was an atheist. In fact, one of the things that he enjoyed to do the most was ridicule Christians. His friends and his buddies, they would all sit in the work lunchroom, and it wouldn't be long before Dan started to, as he would call it, kind of challenge them on their distorted beliefs. And so Dan only had one problem in his life, his wife, Kim. And Kim was a praying woman. In fact, while Dan was working on his classic cars and hanging out with his buddies on Sundays, Kim and her kids and Dan's kids were going to church. And, you know, that wasn't really necessarily a big deal. Kim didn't pressure him to go, but it was actually Kim's friends from her small group that just kept simply inviting Dan to church, saying, Dan, you should just come with us sometime. Well, one day Dan finally had enough and he said, okay, fine, I'll go. So he went to church on that day and he was really thinking to himself, I just want to get this over with. They'll stop asking me if I go once and say, look, see, I did it and I don't have to go again. Well, Jesus had other plans. In fact, Dan showed up and was overwhelmed by the experience. Now, what was interesting about his experience was it wasn't the message. It wasn't the worship. It was actually the experience of believers and how they were called to live out this life of being a Christian 7 days a week. And he saw examples of that. He saw people that were giving up their time and their talent and their treasure. And that's what really spoke to him. He actually, by the end of the service, thought to himself, well, if these people can give up 7 days a week, maybe I can give up 1 hour a week. So he did. And in fact, that's all he did. He gave up 1 hour a week. He went to church with his wife and his kids. And that's all it was for a while, just showing up on Sundays. And, you know, he was kind of interested in what was going on. I mean, and he was starting to feel a little challenged. But at the same time, it was a long time and a long process. Well, one Sunday when Dan showed up, he wanted to actually worship. He felt compelled to sing in worship, but he kind of felt that he wanted to be a believer first. So without any prompting, without an altar call, without somebody saying anything, in the middle of worship, Dan gave his life to Christ. And he didn't just stand there out of respect. He now stood there and he began to worship. And words were coming out of his mouth. A song was beginning to form in him. And his wife was completely shocked. She was shocked for a couple of reasons. One, she had never heard her husband sing. And two, the fact that he was incredibly tone deaf. But it didn't matter. In that moment, a transformation had taken place in Dan's life. Now, slowly, Dan began to grow in his faith, but he didn't share that with his coworkers. In fact, he didn't share it with any of his friends. He kind of kept it a secret because he didn't know what to do or what to say. And on one particular day, while sitting in the lunchroom, Dan was sitting with his friends, and all of a sudden, the ridiculed Christian, who Dan had ridiculed before, sat down close to them, and everybody was started just kind of chiming in on this guy. And Dan didn't do anything because he thought to himself in that moment, do I stand up for this guy and, you know, declare my new Christianity and my new belief, or do I not say anything at all? So he actually chose not to say anything at all. And faced with this challenge, he felt really convicted. He actually went home and he sat down with his Bible, and the reading for that day, and he was reading in the Message, came from Matthew 10, 32 through 33. It says, "Stand up for me against the world opinion, and I'll stand up for you before my Father in heaven. If you turn tail and run, do you think I'll cover you?" Dan couldn't believe it. He had seen this moment of indecision and this feeling that he felt that he should have said something. And then he goes back and he seeks God in his word. And that's exactly the verse that he reads that day. And the next day he decides, you know what? Or in that moment, he decides, I'm not going to hide anymore. I'm not going to keep this a secret. If somebody asks, I'm going to share with them that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And then he also had a plan the next day to go and to meet up with this ridiculed Christian. So he does. He went to the lunchroom a little bit earlier that day. He comes and he sits down with this person that he had just ridiculed so much. And he says, "Don't worry, I've got you." And the guy just looked at him with this shocked and disbelief look. Well, all of a sudden, the friends started to trickle in. And as they started to trickle in, they were equally as surprised as the ridiculed Christian that Dan was sitting with him. And so they were like, "Hey, what in the world is going on?" Well, Dan spent the good majority of their lunch break explaining how God had transformed his life. And I mean, it's amazing. His friends were shocked. They couldn't believe what was happening. And if you think about it, that moment was Dan's Peter moment. You know, Peter's moment was to decide whether he was going to step up and lead and be the rock that Jesus had proclaimed he would be, or to do what he had done before and simply run away in fear, or to go back to fishing. And see, Dan's Peter moment was to say, "You know, I'm going to declare to everyone that Jesus is my Lord and Savior." And you know what? Dan's story is not unusual. In fact, God can take the unlikeliness of your life and transform it into a beautiful representation of his love for you and for the world. But the choice is yours. I don't want you to miss your Peter moment right now. Maybe for some of you, it's the fact that you are a believer, but you've kept it secret. And maybe it's time to maybe not overtly share it with the world, but the next time you're challenged, to be able to say, "You know what? This is who I am." Or maybe you're watching this today and you're in a place where you're like, "You know, I can't believe that an atheist would become a Christian. Maybe there is hope for me." And I want to tell you, there is hope, and it's right here and it's right now. This could be your Peter moment. This could be your Dan moment. The moment when you say, "God, enough. I want to believe in you. I want to take my next steps with you. And I know I'm not going to be perfect. And I know I might miss it. But even in those times, Lord, I pray and I'm thankful that you will be close." So I want to encourage you, whether you've been a Christian your whole life, whether you're not a Christian, or whether you've been a Christian for 5 days or 5 minutes, continue to live out your life of faith. Don't miss your Peter moments. Step up. Recognize that you have the power and opportunity to change the narrative, to change the story, and to give God all the glory. Because truthfully, God is the hero of your story, not you. Well, let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask right now that you would continue to take this time to use it and utilize it for us to recognize that you don't call us to be perfect. You call us to be obedient. You knew that Peter was going to fall, and there were times that Peter fell flat on his face. Lord, we are no different. We are the unlikely of disciples, but yet you offer us an opportunity to take tiny steps of faith in your direction. So Lord, I pray that each person, no matter where they're at in their journey of faith, that they would be taking a step closer to you today. Lord, maybe there's a Dan who's watching or being a part of this lesson today. Maybe there's somebody who they feel so far from you and don't even believe in you. But yet, when they allow themselves to be open, boy, the incredible transformation you can make in their life. So Lord, I pray for that transformation right now. I pray that you take this time, give us the opportunities to not miss our Peter moments. Because as your Holy Spirit breathes life into us, I pray that we can breathe life into others. And we thank you for this, and we pray it in your name. Amen. Well, each time we're together, we end with the benediction, and this is no different. So I want to encourage you now to say the benediction as you see it here on the screen, and join me in saying this. And when we get down to the end, the last three words are probably the most important three words that we get to say every week, and that simply is, we are sent. So say it with me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Say it with me. We are sent.